Next to Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, Michigan House Speaker Jace Bolger may be the most talked about figure at the state capitol. He's helped steer a long list of Republican-led bills through the House during the early Snyder years. Last year was no exception, but he came under more intense scrutiny after his involvement in the Roy Schmidt party switch fiasco and the passage of hot-button measures like right to work, abortion reform, and others. And the Republican from Marshall opened up recently with reporter Craig Mauger of MERS, and Craig is here to talk about what he walked away with after 40 minutes with the speaker.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, we had 40 minutes with the speaker on Thursday, and I wanted to say thanks for having me on as well, Mark, today. Hey,
that's all right, Craig. You cover just the House.
I'm the House reporter at MERS. Okay. We're a political news service that covers all types of political issues in Michigan. So.
And MERSnews.com, by the way.
That's the website, yeah. So if you want to check it out, that's the website you need to go to.
That's how we found out about this, about your sit down with the speaker. You've been covering the House since August, so you haven't been covering the House that long.
No.
But you've gotten to know Jace Bolger pretty well.
Yeah. I've covered his run for re-election, competitive race this November, and I've been watching covering the House closely this fall. And in lame duck, we had a lot going on. Obviously, so it's been a busy few months.
A lot going on is an understatement.
Yeah, definitely.
So he's been at or near the eye of the hurricane recently. How many issues? How many different topics did you stir up with him in your 40 minutes?
We talked about just about everything we could talk about in 40 minutes, and he's a political figure here in Michigan that's been through a lot the last year, so we went into that a lot. We're talking about right to work, the Roy Schmidt party switch situation, some other controversies he's been involved with, and we talked about kind of his expectations for the next session, and also how often he disagrees with Governor Snyder, which he said quite frequently with a laugh. So
how about that? Did he go into any detail there on where he's disagreed with him?
He didn't get into those details, but as you can imagine, the governor is a very methodical person. We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
The speaker is a little bit more passionate, I think, so you could see where they would bump heads maybe on some different things.
Did you ask? I know you cover the House, but and there are gun measures going through the Senate right now.
Yes.
These would somehow exempt Michigan guns from changes in federal gun policies. Did that come up?
Oh, yes, that came up with the speaker. Yeah, the bills have been filed in the Senate, and they've already moved out of committee, so they're before the whole Senate now. There have been similar bills filed in the House, but they haven't moved yet. And the speaker says he's not really interested in advancing any of those measures very quickly because he said emotions are so raw right now on both sides. People are fired up about what the president has said, and people are fired up about the number of massacres we've seen in this country over the last year.
So he's taken a page from the Snyder playbook.
Exactly.
It's like, don't move on the gun legislation because it's just too raw right now.
That's exactly right. And he wasn't, I didn't know what I would get when I asked him that question. I didn't know if he would say, like some of his conservative caucus members have said, we need to push forward, we need to do something before the federal government acts, we need to show our state sovereignty. But he said, like the governor has, we need to slow down and take a breath on this issue.
He claims he became most afraid of the opportunity that the opportunity to pass right to work would be lost, and this was something he felt pretty strongly about. And he claims it wasn't apparent until the last 24 to 36 hours of the session that the measure had legs. Did he let on how that unfolded exactly? I mean, I know there was an awful lot of meetings, an awful lot of conversations with union leaders, a lot of talking.
Yeah, it seemed there for those days before it was officially announced that they were going to push forward with it, that the meetings were constant. And in fact, when I met with the speaker on Thursday, I sat in a chair in his office that he said he refers to as the Bob King chair, of course, of the United Auto Workers. So obviously Bob King had been there a couple times maybe.
Oh, so, to be a fly on the wall during those encounters.
That's what I said to him. And he said it might be more interesting to be listening on the conversations both sides had after those encounters, you can imagine.
Well, they took an awful lot of heat over the lack of hearings, mm-hmm. over right to work. Let's listen to something that Jace Bolger said to you about the hearings in particular.
I wanted committee hearings, and yet I was sensitive to, you saw the protests, you saw the disruption, mm-hmm. You saw, and I think there were valid questions over, was a committee process going to change anybody's mind? was the committee process going to introduce any new thought or ideas?
Interesting response.
Yes, definitely.
The battle lines were drawn. He's suggesting it wouldn't have mattered how many hearings we would have had. The outcome probably would have been the same.
Yeah, I guess he's saying he's not sure on that subject, but it definitely sounds like, I think he said at one point, this is something that I struggled with, whether to do this or not. So some people may say he's just saying that now. Others may say, others may see his point of view on this. I think to a certain extent, he wanted to see this in a committee hearing because he knew that people would say, you didn't fledge this out. And for the most part, this legislature has had committee hearings on important bills. So he kind of thought that it would give, he kind of thought this issue and the way it was handled may give people a bad perception on how the House works under his leadership.
Well, he was Nostradamus on that count.
Obviously, yeah, definitely.
Where did he come down on $1 billion plus in new road funding? That did come up,
yes,
correct?
That did come up. He was noncommittal on the subject, but he said the last place he wants to look on this road funding subject is to new taxes. So you can take that for what it's worth if you're the people out there struggling with potholes all over your roads, but that's what he said. So that would seem to indicate that he's not in favor as of right now of some of the things that are being talked about at the Capitol when it comes to roads.
Well, he said find money elsewhere in the budget.
He said that,
to move on road improvements.
Yeah, and some might say there's no other money in the budget for road improvement with everything else we want to do. So,
now, do you get the impression that he and the governor must be addressing this?
Oh, definitely,
face to face in a lot of detail.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Well, again, we're talking with Craig Mauger of MERS. Craig had a 40-minute sit down with the Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger, here late last week. And we're listening to some excerpts from that. Of all the topics that came up in your interview, which ones do you think he felt strongest about? Did he, or was he cool, calm, and collected during the whole thing, or did he get worked up about any particular topic?
I wouldn't say he got worked up. I mean, I think he was well prepared for a lot of the subjects that we were going to ask about, but he was very candid. I mean, he didn't dodge any questions. He opened up, and he really talked about everything we had to ask. I asked him a hypothetical question of what would have happened that in the 2012 election if the Democrats would have won the House back. You know, they were a few thousand votes from winning the House back. The Democrats were in the election.
Right.
And I said, do you think you guys would have done right to work still if the Democrats had won the House back? And he didn't give me a yes or no, but he said, you know, it would have made it much more difficult because people would have said you're rushing this through. Beat the Democrats taking over.
We're talking with MERS News, Craig Mauger, who covers the State House for MERS, the Michigan Information and Research Service, here in Lansing. And you can be updated on Craig's stories and everybody else at MERS, Kyle Mullen, the whole crowd at MERSnews.com. Craig had a 40-minute sit-down with Michigan Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger, recently, and that's really what we're talking about here this morning. With regard to right to work again, let's back up a little bit, Craig. Did the speaker let on as to how much Proposal 2 may have increased his own resolve to move forward on right to work? That was, of course, the ballot proposal to get collective bargaining in the Constitution.
Yeah, from the beginning, from the day after the election, the Speaker and his staff have said, you know, that they think Proposal 2 started this debate. And the governor had said that he didn't want to have the debate because it was too divisive. And Speaker Bolger has said, well, the backers of Proposal 2 really started this debate by putting that on the ballot and pushing that initiative. And they felt the legislation, while they say it's not retribution for Proposal 2, they say, you know, it's a continuation of that debate.
I have read that some Republicans actively discouraged unions and Democrats from advancing Prop 2 because it would invite right to work. How much truth to that do you think?
I would think that if you were a Republican in Michigan, you'd probably discourage Proposal 2 being on the ballot in the beginning because you didn't know how it was going to do. But I don't know what the Speaker's feelings is on that, if he discouraged them or not.
He indicated to you that he wants to continue working on big issues, but expressed a desire to work across the aisle What do you make of that comment?
I think from everything I've heard, you know, that's a pretty traditional idea at the beginning of a legislative session. You know, let's work together. But also it's important to keep in mind that the Democrats in the House have a few more seats than they had last session. So working with them is also going to be more important to get some of those big things done, like road funding or election reform, some of those things.
Well, it would appear the roads funding does have bipartisan potential.
It would appear that.
Does it not? Or?
I mean, it would appear that way. You never know until the votes are on the board, I guess.
And with regard to how often he disagrees with the governor, what did he have to say?
Oh, he said frequently with a laugh. And I don't know if people would be surprised by that or not, because they definitely have different approaches to policy, I think.
Set up the Roy Schmidt situation here for us, because we've got a clip from the speaker regarding the Roy Schmidt fiasco,
yeah.
The party change fiasco that erupted last summer, just about when you were getting started.
Yeah, definitely. It was obviously for the 2012 election, it was a key issue in the House races. The speaker and Republicans' involvement in getting Roy Schmidt to switch parties to become a Republican over the summer. And there's currently a grand jury investigation that's ongoing, looking at, you know, what happened there, if there was legal wrongdoing by anyone involved in that. So.
And lining up a Democratic candidate.
Yeah, basically.
That
that's a key fact.
An unknown. So you had
basically a phantom candidate. Yeah.
You had a really well-established Democrat who switched parties, and then they went so far as to line up this phantom Democrat. Let's hear what Speaker Bolger had to say about that.
I think his switch was absolutely appropriate. There are, however, within that process, several mistakes I made, and I've learned from those mistakes. I've answered every question I can openly and honestly every time I can. The only times I haven't been able to, frankly, are frustrating. But I've learned lessons from that, and I would certainly do things differently. But if somebody wanted to switch parties, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I would certainly talk to somebody who wanted to do that again.
Anything you want to follow up with on that?
No, it's just it's a very interesting clip, obviously, and I think some people on the Democratic side of things would be enangered by that, I would say.
Did he admit to worrying about not getting reelected last November? I mean, he won by just a few thousand votes.
It was a few hundred votes.
A few hundred.
I didn't ask him if he was worried about it. I'm sure he was, though, because the Republicans spent a lot of money to make sure that he was reelected, and the Democrats spent a lot of money in that district to try to make sure he wasn't.
But a few hundred votes was all the margin
there.
And now he's Speaker of the House again. So he was reelected. How much you visited Calhoun County and Marshall, which is the district he represents. How much do you know about the vibe he has with his constituents?
I it's hard to say on that one. I mean, obviously, despite all the money that the Democrats put into the district, they sent him back to the House. It's a Republican leaning district too. That's something important to note. So,
one other interesting thing, and this has less to do with Speaker Bolger, but I'll bring it up, that I learned from the MERS podcast yesterday is that the state's 0.08 blood alcohol limit for drivers is scheduled to expire. That is sunsetted, and that came up in the MERS podcast yesterday.
Definitely.
I'm not sure a whole lot of people
are aware of
that.
No, apparently not. We've had a lot of feedback on that on the podcast. We looked through a flood of bills that come in early in the session, and we found this bill from Representative Andrea LaFontaine saying, you know, trying to eliminate this sunset provision that would send the BAC limit to 0.10.
It would back up to 0.1 from 0.08.
Yeah, definitely. So, it's pretty interesting, and it sounds like when they changed it to 0.08, that took effect in 2003. For some reason, this phase-out or sunset, no one's sure what to call it, was put in the law. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch.
But it has to, some kind of legislation has to be passed in order to keep it at 0.08. I want to make sure I understand that, this.
That's what sources are telling us.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
And it's one of the, apparently it's one of the Michigan State Police's priorities for this session. So.
How about that? Very, very interesting.
Yeah, and if you want to listen to the whole podcast, it's free on our website, MERSnews.com, I should also say.
MERSnews.com, that's MERS with an I, M-I-R-S
yes,
news.
Thank you.
.com.
Thank you for that.
a lot of people go looking for you at M-E-R-S, and that's a totally different thing. Craig Mauger of MERS. Many thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mark.